Welcome to Impact, the Conservation Photography Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Heimbuch. And if you are a visual storyteller with a love for all things wild, then you're in the right place. From conservation to creativity, from business to marketing, and everything in between, this podcast is for you, the conservation visual storyteller who is ready to make an impact. Let's dive in. Welcome to this episode of Impact, the Conservation Photography Podcast. And we have a guest that I'm super excited about because we're going to nerd out on numbers, which I love to nerd out on. We have Tiffany Bastian from Bastian Accounting for Photographers with us today to dig into everything that we need to know as conservation photographers when it comes to finances and preparing our business for tax season and all kinds of cool stuff that is sort of, you know, the more business end of what we do out in the field with our cameras. So Tiffany, welcome.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. I'm excited. I love this stuff.
Wonderful. Well, so Tiffany, the first question that I have for you is one that I ask all my guests, and that is, for anyone who doesn't know you yet, who is Tiffany in the world?
Well, I'm Tiffany Bastian. I am the owner of Bastian Accounting for Photographers, as you just said. And really what we do is we serve photographers directly. I have created a job for myself that doesn't exist, I guess, anywhere else in the world. And that is this idea of being able to help photographers not only understand their bookkeeping and taxes, but start to be proactive. Like, that's my mission, right? I want to take everyone from reactive to proactive. Truly believe it's like the teach Amanda Fish thing. If you can show people how to do this stuff and then it's not hard, it doesn't become so anxiety driven. And at some point, yeah, you want to have somebody else handle it for you, but you feel confident in what's going on, right? So I love that stuff. What else can I tell you? I'm a mom. I'm a dog mom. I've been married for 23 amazing years. I live in Buffalo, New York, where I don't know what's going on because we keep having like summer and then snow, but you know, but yeah, I feel like I bring a different energy to the entire idea of taxes and accounting, I hope, because I know it's not sexy and it's almost meant to make you feel stupid or just so totally unsure. I feel like every paragraph of tax code makes you totally doubt what you just read in the one prior to that. So I'm kind of here to like break it down and help people understand that, because unfortunately it's like something we have to do, right? It's like a necessary evil to say, maybe it's not evil, but I want to help people keep more of what they make, right? And you can't do that. I always say you can't play the game if you don't know the rules. So I'm here. I've got the rule book. I understand. I'm going to translate it for you. That's what I do.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, I will say you definitely bring a different energy to the whole game. And I knew it basically from the instant that I saw you, because I saw a photo of one of your branding sheets for your website with a t-shirt that I instantly sent to Joe, because Joe is my bookkeeper / regular on the show, sort of like a sidekick on the show who does all of my numbers for me. And that t-shirt is Lady in the Streets, Freak in the Spreadsheets. Yep. And I love that t-shirt. And I've never seen another accountant wearing anything remotely like that.
I get so
that.
Many comments on that. People are like, does your shirt say? And I'm like, yeah, it does. And no, it's the truth. And I feel like that represents my fun nature, because I mean, you got to do this stuff anyway, so you might as well make it somewhat fun and entertaining, I suppose.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and a lot of my listeners are folks who are doing this. Some listeners are doing this as a full-time career, but a lot of my listeners are doing conservation photography as a hobby or as a side hustle in addition to a regular full-time job. And so what I would love to dive into right away is, as you are working with photographers, is there a big difference in how you track your numbers or what you need to pay attention to if you're working on photography as a hobby or a side hustle versus if it's your full-time job?
I mean, not really. So hobby, you know, hobby is kind of there is an IRS term for hobby. And it's essentially like if you have a business loss, three consecutive years of 5 years. If you're filing as a business and they're saying that you're not making money, you're not profiting, they will send you a letter and kind of be like, hey, this is a hobby. You can't deduct these expenses anymore. And essentially, you just have to prove like, I'm trying to make a profit and maybe not, you know, you're still growing, because that can be the case. So I feel like if it's a hobby, you're not taking money for it. But if you were taking money for it, it's not really a hobby anymore, right? Because the IRS wants every penny, right? So the second you take a penny from someone, the IRS wants some too. And that's even a big deal with like sole proprietorship and stuff. A lot of people will think, oh, well, I haven't registered. Well, but you've been doing weddings for, you know, 2 years. Well, Guess you've been what? Taking money that's earned income, unfortunately, to the IRS. And it's just that that filing of anything official starts to put you on their radar, but you never know. You never know when they can come back, and then you've just got a big mess, right? So I always lean into it being a business, even if it's small, right? Because the more you make, the more they take, but the less you make, the less they take, and you're still doing the right thing that you need to be doing.
Got it. So essentially, as long as you collect a paycheck of any form, you're not technically a hobby. That is a business.
Yeah, you trade a service or a product for anything. This is kind of where you get lost in it all, because something sort of picks up and you're like, whoa, I can do this and this is fun, and it builds. And then before you know it, you're like, oh, this is a business. I got to back it up. And especially the creative realm. See it all the time where, people don't know it's going to take, or that they're going to be so passionate about it, or that it can really turn into something. And so it's sort of just, like being aware of that. And even if you're listening to this and you're like thinking about it, just get a separate business bank account and just sort of start to act as if for yourself, just so you're making it easy for future you. Future you is going to thank you for just starting a little organized in the beginning.
Right. Okay. So, because I know that anyone who's listening to this who does not consider what they do as a business might be like, oh, it was okay. So now I really might need to pay attention to this. What does that look like? So let's say it's someone who in the whole of 2022 has sold a couple of prints and maybe an image license, and they've made all of maybe $300. Even with that $300, when they file taxes, they're going to need to claim that as income, but they might not be saying, oh, but I've got all these photography expenses to deduct alongside of it. They might just say, okay, I just am going to make sure that I let the IRS know that I made $200, $300 from photography, and that's it. I can leave it at that. Is that right?
You can. I mean, I would say I'm sure you have some kind of expenses that you can figure out, which is going to make you pay less in taxes, whether it's mileage for going to things. Like, there's all these things that I would say, if you can sort that out for yourself, you're going to, you could break even. Then it's just you're reporting it, and then you're not going to have to pay taxes on it. You've counting mileage, home office deduction, all the things. I'm sure there isn't, and in that is perfect scenario, I'm sure we could find $300 in expenses so that you've reported it, you're compliant, but you also don't owe money on it.
Excellent. Okay. So for someone who is listening to this and being like, ooh, well, yes, I've made $300 this year, but I haven't kept track of anything. Where do they start?
I'm going to say you most likely have deposits, at least in a bank account, hopefully, maybe. That's where I would say the number one thing anyone can do to organize themselves, regardless if they're going to do this full-time, part-time, if they're going to be an LLC or they're going to whatever, is a business bank account, just a separate business bank account. And I'll even go so far as to say, probably not a popular opinion with accountants, but even if it's a personal account, but it's just you're putting just your business stuff, right? Like, this is all that's going through there, just so at the end of the year, you can pull that out into an Excel sheet, and at least here's what got deposited, here's what I spent money on, and then you can get ready for taxes. It is not ideal, but it is better than nothing, and then you have it there, because what people don't realize is when they get audited, you have to figure out, you have to have all that proof, right? And so now you're like, that's where the panic comes, because now you're like, well, I report all this on my taxes, but I don't have all this stuff. So it kind of just keeps you organized. Ultimately, I want clients to be like in QuickBooks, and I want them to be organized, and I want all their stuff streamlined. But at least you have that, and you can pull that. You don't have to worry about it either. You'll know, this is all going through there, so it's okay. In December, I'll pull it all out and look at it if I need to. It's not ideal, but at least you have that. And then I would even go on top of that to be also like just worrying about sales tax compliance, right? If you're doing any physical prints or any type of thing, there's something to be said for, and a lot of sales tax laws are a little bit different when there's like a license involved and you're giving it to. So just to be aware of those things, and sales tax would be the thing that I feel like a lot of people are like, wait, okay, taxes. Yeah. But what the heck is sales tax? Like, a lot of people lump tax in one big bucket and move on. And there is all these different taxes just to be aware of, and they don't all apply, but there's that confidence in knowing, okay, I understand that this applies to me, this doesn't. And like, I can just take a breath. Like, I can move forward with confidence knowing that I'm doing all that I know that I need to be doing.
Excellent. Excellent. So the steps also that you mentioned, just really simple steps, go in and just grab the bank statement of the deposit that you've made for what income you've earned, probably go through and look at a couple of expenses that were photography related, directly related. And so that's all you really need if you're going into 2023 and okay, well, I did make some money. I want to make sure I claim it. I also don't want to pay taxes on it. I know I have expenses against it. Pull bank statements. And then in 2023, you can open up that bank account and just start with that.
It's like some, beginning recognizance there, just kind of going back and getting those things. And I think that a lot of times too, even in my own life, you'll go start going through those things and you'll be surprised. Like, oh, I guess I did have more. Like, you'll be surprised at what you find and think, oh, yeah, this was for the business. Oh, yeah, this was too. Oh, yeah, I did this thing. And then so.
Perfect. Well, and also for anyone listening, we did an episode earlier, episode 115, for 5 steps to turning your conservation photography hobby into a profitable side hustle. So head back into episode 115 as well to look at some other steps for kind of getting yourself organized for the year. Nice. Also, Tiffany, you mentioned sales tax, and you have a really great free guide for state-by-state sales tax. How do people get their hands on that?
So you can just go to bastionaccounting.com, and I actually think it's just /sales tax, but it's right on the main page there. There's a listing there of our freebies. We have the business expense breakdown guide, which talks about what's deductible and what's not, and then we have the sales tax guide. That was my labor of love. That was a very... That actually came out on Christmas Eve, year before last. I was working on it, trying to get it, and I was like, this is my Christmas gift to the world, because I went through every single state. And what I could add in there that may affect some people listening too is the destination piece of sales tax. So we have that guide broken down. The top part is like when you're in, let's say you live in California and you work in California and you're doing this in California, but maybe you get a project and somebody asks you to come to Nevada or something. If you leave the state, there's different rules that apply per state. And we have that now in the bottom section of each page. So you can kind of be like, oh, well, let me go look at Nevada's destination sales tax laws. So you, because there is a lot of travel in photography. I mean, weddings and things. And I've just a lot, especially in the last 2 years. So it's like, oh, we all need to be aware that when we go to somewhere else, it's not like we're running away from all the rules too.
Right. Yeah. So, okay, I can feel if I'm listening to this episode and I'm thinking, oh my God, sales tax, oh my God, travel, this feels really overwhelming. I just want to hire someone to be able to do this for me. At what point in your photography work do you feel like you're earning enough to really justify hiring a CPA, an accountant to work with, to be able to help you? At what point do we come to you and say, please do this for me?
I think it depends, because, you know, we'll get clients who are just starting out, maybe barely making anything, but it's like that confidence for them to know, like, okay, that part's set up. Now I can really focus on this business. But we also get like 6- and 7-figure photographers coming who are like, oh my God, I've been an S corporation and I never did this thing and I didn't do that. And I'm behind, you know, so it just depends on where you are and what it's kind of like, honestly, it's like value, right? It's like, what's value to you? Is that valuable to you to get that started up front? You know, I'm going to obviously say you should always do it from the beginning. But the other part I think is important is like, we educate our clients. Like, I'm not just doing everything. We're always working with our clients and educating them on like what you can deduct, why you can't, because the more you know, like the easier it is to just sift through in your mind. You're not like stressed out and constantly like, I need to ask my accountant. We want them to learn and know. And like, that's my favorite part of all this is like our courses and how we teach stuff, because it is a lot. It's a lot of stuff, because it's not just, you know, this. It's like, maybe you're just starting this business and it's equipment. And it's like, okay, what do I do in marketing and then website? And then, oh my God. And then there's this other thing. And it's enough to probably make you want to just like burn it all down and like change your mind and just go work for, you know, someone else. But I want to break it down because it's doable. It's just like anything. It's just getting people to, you know, see that just like anything, we're just gonna take baby steps. I feel like, you know, it's like anything. I'm not a photographer. Okay. I have a lot of people ask if I am. I just love photography. I love, you know, capturing moments and stuff. And I love working with photographers. I love the way they think. But realizing in the way they think is that they're passionate about what they're doing and all this other stuff is sort of just piling up, and then it becomes stressful, and then it ruins their experience, and it sort of like bleeds into everything else they're trying to do in their business. And so I don't know. I feel like it's I kind of like to say like Marie Kondo of bookkeeping, like kind of bring joy, and we're going to, I don't know. It feels like that. So, but yes. I just want people and anyone listening, like it sounds like a lot, but there's steps you can take. IRS is not showing up your house and arresting you. They are sending you letters like a year and 2 years after the fact at this point. There's no emergencies in accounting, right? There really isn't. It's just sometimes like anything, it kind of gets worse before it gets better. You got to pull everything out first before you can organize into where it needs to go. But it's doable, and we do it every day. It can be done. We walk people through doing it. So I guess I just want to bring like this sense of zen. It is all doable, like anything.
Right. I think that that's a really big green flag for any CPA. I've been working with CPAs for the entire time that I've had my business. And before photography, I had other businesses, and I brought CPAs in because there's so many things that I don't know I don't know. And I've had three CPAs in my career so far who I've adored every single one of them because I always found CPAs who are looking through all of my information and saying, hey, I noticed this. You might want to think about these three things. Or, hey, I noticed this over here. You might want to think about doing this. And so they're finding all of this stuff
because
for me.
You can focus on your business, right? And you know, like someone's going to, they're going to alert me or they're going to let me know. It's so much more. And so I should tell you, that I am not a CPA though. I am an EA, but very similar.
What's that?
So a CPA takes a four-part exam, which I was going down that road. And then I was like, is this what I want to do? Or am I just doing this? Because after you get your accounting, master's degree, that's what you're supposed to do. Like, right? Like this whole world tells us all these steps we're supposed to take. And then an EA is through the IRS. So I'm an enrolled agent. I'm not enrolled with them. I don't work with them. I don't get a cool badge because my husband was like, when do you get your cool badge? When I got my certificate, I'm like, yeah, I wish. But basically an EA takes three-part exam. It's business tax, personal tax, and ethics. So I have to take continuing education, but I can do taxes and I can help clients in all states. So CPAs, a lot of people will, and it's true, a lot of people are like, well, I need a CPA in my state. And you do, because CPAs have to be registered in the states they work in. But an EA is through the IRS on a federal level. So we do taxes. I can help with like tax letters and such. But, CPA, this is an amazing designation. It's a feat of strength, in my opinion. But a lot of people will get the CPA to be like a CFO in a company or other things like that. It's like an attorney. It's not necessarily like for one thing. And then you will find CPAs that specialize in tax, but not all of them do. And I think that's also a misnomer. A lot of people think just because someone's a CPA and they know all the tax laws, it's not always the case. So you have to find someone, first of all, that specializes in that, but your industry knowing that. But even like you. And like what you were just saying, like they're keeping an eye, they're helping. And that is not always the case in any industry, right? I think it's a relationship that's super important. And you're kind of asking when to hire, but I think it's a matter of like also what to ask. Like you need to feel good. Don't ever walk away feeling like, oh, they know more than me and I don't know. I want you to walk away feeling like, okay, this person's like going to be like the yin to my yang. This is exactly what I need. It needs to feel like a good relationship. And I think a lot of people, CPA relationships don't feel like that. They kind of just go to someone because they're supposed to, and then they're sort of like not sure. And I'm so glad to hear that you've had that relationship because I think that makes the stress of all of it a lot less.
Oh,
and you probably
learn
along the way because someone's actually taking care of you versus just checking the box and doing it, you know?
Yeah. Well, so I'm really excited that you just clarified for me that you're an EA, and I did not know that an enrolled agent existed.
People just assume every accountant is a CPA, right?
Yeah.
And it's just like, we think that every attorney knows every law. And we're like, no, there's divorce attorneys. Like if you're getting divorced, you're not going to go hire a car accident attorney. So that's what you want to find is that niche that aligns with yours. But yeah, it's pretty awesome because it allows me to understand it's all tax. Only a small part of the CPA exam. There's four tests. One small part is tax. Then a CPA has to sort of continue on with their tax education if that's what you're specialized in. I have to do all tax. And even on top of that, it's this idea that the last 2 or 3 years, the tax laws are changing like every 10 minutes. So how nice is it to have somebody to help you understand if that affects you or not?
Right. Oh, man. Okay. So that was really, really interesting. So one thing that you said earlier that I want to go back into a little bit more because I think that it will make everything feel a lot more zen, a lot less stressful, is the concept of, especially when you're working with a CPA because or an EA, because they're going to want to be able to see all of your numbers and be able to have that organized. It is the importance of having a business account or a separate account that is specifically for your photography work. Even if you consider yourself a hobby, that you're not taking this very seriously, but money is being exchanged, having that completely separate from your personal account.
It's kind of like having a separate place to put, I don't know, anything in your house. Like I'm going to put food in the pantry. You're not just putting the food wherever. It's not like in the bedroom under the bed. You know what I mean? If you think about it like that, I don't know why all of my analogies are like home organizing right now, but they are. It's the Marie Kondo thing, but no, it's true. It's just knowing it's all in one place. It's all and being able to just go to the bank and have everything there. You have all the detail that you need to prove what you've done it just makes it so much easier. But just having that bank account, especially right now as we're getting into like next year, we're starting fresh, like having it all in one account, it's going to save you so much time if you ever audited, but also at tax time, you have what you need. And it's like the beginning of the next steps to getting even more organized. You have it all in one place and you know where it is.
Yes. So that's a great point. We are airing this episode in January. It's the start of 2023. Yeah. And so one of the first things that you can do to make yourself feel really organized, even as we're going into tax season moving forward. So by the time you file taxes next year, one of the first things you can do to feel really organized right now is to open a separate checking account, have all of that separate. What would be two other things that photographers can do right now, whether hobby, side hustle, full time, to get themselves really organized going into a new year?
I want to add one thing you just made me think about to help with your point there. But if you have that separate bank account and you have you're depositing your income in there and your expenses come out of there, you kind of know your profit a little bit.
Yes.
Right? Because that's what the balance in the account is. And so that's what you would pay taxes on. So it kind of sort of gives you, I mean, again, not the idealist, but gosh, what an easy step that you've got that and you're not doing a whole lot, but you can kind of see, okay, I've got a $400 profit or I'm at, you know, and the other thing I'd say is like people so surprised at how quickly it grows. They'll say, oh, I'm doing this. And then it grows so quickly. I have clients all the time who'll be like, what do I do now? I had no idea I was going to make this much money, you know? So it does, I think it does happen. It does. And it sneaks up on you. Two other things that you could do. I mean, you know, I'm all into the business growth piece of it because I realize there's just so much we can do. And because I'm very passionate about doing what you love and making a living at it. And a lot of people do that. And then what happens is they get stuck in that and they forget that, oh, I can also have a retirement plan. Even if it's a hobby, even if it's part-time, whatever, money that you put into an IRA can be deducted. Certain IRA plans can be deducted. That's on your personal return. But also you're putting money in your future. It's not dollar for dollar, but wouldn't you rather put, you know, some money in your future than give it all to the IRS right now? Like it's just ways of like, how do you keep more of what you make, whether it's keeping it now or putting it in your future, it's still yours. And, you know, and I guess it's kind of off topic a little bit, but there is that like little cheat code where you can actually start an IRA. So we're in December, you're airing this in January. Certain IRA plans as a self-employed individual, you can contribute in them next year and count it for this year. Like if you find out that you grew and you're like, oh my God, I owe money. I'm speaking from experience. This is the only reason that Tiffany has an IRA plan. This is happened to me like 8 years ago. I grew so quickly. And I'm like, was able to take money from the current year, put it in an IRA for last year, and you can do that all the way up until you file your tax return. So you have one move left after 12/31. So it's important people know that. And if they have a financial advisor, or anyone, or you know, they find out about that, because that does save you when you grow too quickly.
So let me just make sure that I understand this fully. Yeah. So as you are growing in, like, let's say in 2022, you figured out that you actually made a little more money than you thought you were going to make once you're really paying attention to this. Now it is early 2023. You're getting ready for tax time. You realize that you made more money than you thought. So you can actually put some of the money that you're earning now in 2023 into an account that you can put toward your retirement fund, and it counts toward the 2022, like last year's retirement. Yeah. So you actually
get that deduction to lower again, to kind of bring down that income you didn't expect.
That's brilliant. So
that is literally what happened to me. And if I'm being completely transparent, I'd rather put some of this in my future and structure this properly now instead of just hand it to the IRS and I don't get anything for it. Right.
So that's really interesting. So one thing is open up that separate checking account, and two, really start to think about funding retirement with some of the money that you're making, because that means that you don't have to hand it over to the IRS, or at least not as much over to the IRS, and you can start saving that for your future. Love that.
Right. Yeah. Because it's the biggest thing is I think that we get out of the cubicle, we get into our own thing, and then we forget like, we can have those things too. You know, there's all, we can have health insurance. All those things are possible. And I just think it's like we get, you know, into that making ends meet and we're like, oh, cool, I'm able to do this and I make a living at it. And we just kind of stay in that circle. But there's so much more. I always kind of say you can turn your business into the vehicle that fuels the life you want to live. And it doesn't mean you want to be a millionaire, because that's not it. I think success means something to everybody differently. But whatever that is, the business can sort of be the vehicle to get you there if you do it properly and you use it. It's a tool. more than anything. And I think sometimes it feels more like a burden because we don't understand those parts, but it can be a tool. So
one thing I do want to ask you about is, so a lot of my listeners are folks who already have a job with an employer, and conservation photography is something that they do as passion work. It might be a side hustle or a hobby. And so I want to ask you, if you already have a 401k or you already have an IRA with your employer, and so that's already set up, tell us a little bit about SEP IRAs that you might be able to be contributing to through your side hustle.
I know a little bit. I know enough to be dangerous. I have a guy for this, but there's a SEP IRA and a simple IRA. And I actually think that you can do a self-directed, there's a certain kind of solo 401k you can do. And obviously you can do these separate of those things. You can have those things. And also if you leave that employer, you decide to make this, you can roll those into these things too, which I did. So once you make this full time, if that's something you're going to do, but there's a couple differences in them. You can put a lot more into them because you're self-employed and the IRS wants you to save for retirement and such, but you know, savings in general, people say, oh, put $10 into account and you know, for how long? And it seems like something such a big task right now, but then it grows little by little, becomes a lot. So if this is something maybe too you're doing as like a passion thing, and maybe it's not the income you're after, maybe you just create this for that future self. Like what if that money is all, you just do it to a point that this is all paying into retirement for you. Right. So later on, you know, and it's really based on that you have self-employment income, which if you're doing anything, trading a service or product for money, you do. Okay. So then they're allowing you, because obviously they want taxes on the money too, but they're allowing you to then, and again, I don't know which one is which, but one of them is 25% up what your profit is. So you could put up to 25% of your profit into this retirement plan with your self-employment income. Does that make sense?
That's pretty amazing. And so do you have to make a certain amount in order to be able to even open one of those?
Nope. You don't.
Okay. So that could be a third thing to help get someone really
that's what
organized
I'm thinking.
Right
and
now.
And like, if this is something you want to do as passion too, like how cool could it be just to fund your retirement from something you love doing now?
Yes.
That kind
of
is kind of a cool idea, you know?
Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and put some links in the show notes as well that are further explanation about what simple IRA and SEP IRA are, so that if you're interested, if you're listening to this and you're like, oh my gosh, my photography could actually fund my retirement, tell me more. You can hop in and learn some more about that as well. So for the listeners who are already in conservation photography full-time, this is something that they do 100% of the time, and they really want to make sure that they're getting prepped for tax season. A lot of the photographers I know will do their own taxes. Many will hire someone to do that for them. What are some of the things that they can do to really just get themselves ready to feel like they're going into filing taxes with confidence and not dread?
For sure. And I want to back up to having that separate bank account is going to always be like, that's the first thing, because that's going to already reduce the amount of like research you're doing or trying to get everything together. I mean, I want to take people from the days of here it is January, February, holidays are over, and now you are in the receipt boxes and you are just trying to find what's what, and you're trying to go through statements and you're literally just telling yourself how I can't believe I'm here. Every year I say I'm going to be working, you know, to erase that scene, have that separate bank account, that's going to help a lot. But really it's getting organized, you know, knowing that a lot of tax forms come in the mail still. And so just creating an organized space for that. And there's the idea of doing your own taxes or, you know, having someone do them. And that's completely preference. I think it's based on your situation and how complicated it could be. QuickBooks is actually gearing itself in the programming to be able to sort of push all your data into TurboTax for you. Like that's something they have coming. So now you could print your reports from there and we could map it and show you like what would go where. I don't know when it's coming, but I can definitely tell they're making all the changes. So your accounts all mapped to a line that would be on a tax form. And so, you know, in that is another thing I believe in is that systemizing, right? So even you know, having your separate bank account, but even the QuickBooks, like even if you got QuickBooks, then you have your bank connected there. Now things are going into there. Now you're able to categorize your expenses, because even if you have that separate bank account, you're going to need to figure out what categories those things go in, right? So this can sort of be your next level if it's happening for you. And then you're kind of, then you're actually more aware if you're looking at it each month. There's that next element, especially for full-time. Now you're looking at your numbers. You don't have to necessarily know what they mean and be like this, you know, crazy accountant-minded person yet, but you start to be familiar with what's coming and going. And it's, it is, it's like, you know, baby steps into these things, but then it starts to make sense. But I really, it's just, it's that organization piece. It's making sure you have everything and you've accounted for everything. Mileage can be tracked. There's the home office deduction, things to just think about to make sure you don't miss out on those deductions that you can take. Meals.
So. Right. That is something. So I do have QuickBooks. And so I have the app on my phone and I have it just set to auto track. So every time it tells that I'm driving. It's auto tracking miles. And then, yeah, I just swipe one way for personal, yep. another way for business, mark down yep. what the
and
business
is. And you can even start to tell it every time I go to this address, that's my PO box, that's business. Every mm-hmm. time I go to this address, and you can, and it'll start to know. Like, I love that about, you know, a lot of people struggle with QuickBooks. It is, again, like we were talking about before, you know, when you're starting your photography business, you have all this stuff you're learning, advertising, equipment, whatever. And then you got accounting. Well, then you've got this program, right? So when you're learning accounting and this program, and but the thing is, it can be done. It's just walking mm-hmm. through the steps of it. It's just like any app. You know, I think any of us online anymore know all, we're inundated with CRMs and apps and all these things. So, but being able to have it work for you, like, almost like you may not need to hire. You could learn how to maintain this yourself till you get to a certain volume where you're like, okay, I don't want to spend, you know, one day a week working on my books anymore. I'm going to have somebody else do it. But it's like trying to get everything automated. I don't know. I just believe in systems so much, and they're so helpful to yes. for the things that you are, the mundane tasks that you have to do over and over again. You yes. can do so much of that.
I know that often, you know, as we're conservation photographers, mm-hmm. this is an industry that can be really tough to make a living in. And so you're really thinking critically about expenses. But I do believe that QuickBooks, if you are full-time, is one of those expenses that pays for yeah. itself. It's Amen, weight yes. in gold because, like you said, you could spend, especially if you're not doing a ton of transactions, you could spend 2 or 3 hours a month categorizing mm-hmm. all of your expenses, and you know exactly what's going on with your funds.
It almost pushes you to sort of have to make a little time to sort of just kind of monitor what's going on. Mm-hmm. It's yes. kind of like the next step. You have that separate business bank account, and you could look at it once a year or get ready for taxes. And then it's like you can connect that to QuickBooks, and everything can come in there, and you can start to categorize and know what's going on. It's mm-hmm. and then build the next thing.
Absolutely. And the other thing too is if you are doing this full time and you have different verticals, so let's say one vertical is you're running tours and workshops, one vertical is you're licensing images, one vertical is you're doing assignment photography shoots, you can utilize QuickBooks to understand how much each of those things is actually bringing in, how profitable it is, and where to then invest your time depending Absolutely. On what you want to yes. do. So like that aspect of it.
Because you create financial reports, and yes, people find out, you know, we'll say profit and loss, which is also called a P&L, which is also called an income statement, because nobody, you know, just to make everything exciting, they have to have a million names for something. But essentially, it's just your income and expenses. But I always tell my clients, like, this is for you. Okay. It's for you. And it's so that you know what categories your stuff is in for taxes. Nobody else, the IRS doesn't care how your P&L is laid out. Mm-hmm. This is for you. And then so it's like, well, what do you want to see? How do you want to see it broken out? You know, some of our clients, like, they contract other people and they want to see their contractors by name listed under the contracted. So now they can mm-hmm. see that every month or, mm-hmm. you know, and I guess, you know, that kind of is relieves some stress knowing you're building this report for you. It's not mm-hmm. like it has to be compliant with some sort of standard. You're not a publicly traded company. It's for you to kind of understand what's going on in your business. And then once you build it that way, then that data is really quickly categorized, and now you have this really powerful tool for yourself. But yes, the income splitting is great.
Well, one more tax question before we dive into some other education side of things that you do, which is a question that everyone always asks, and that is, can I deduct the value of the images that I donated to a nonprofit? So let's say you volunteer with a nonprofit and you donate a set of 10 images and you give them a licensing agreement. And normally you would license those images for, like, let's say $500. But you just donate it to them. There are so mm-hmm. many photographers who say, well, then I can deduct $500 come tax time. Is that true or is that not true?
That is false. So you can only ever deduct what you have spent on something mm-hmm. and you can never deduct your time. So, you know, the biggest thing is, like, because we get this a lot too. People, I get a lot of pet photographers. So they'll do like an SPCA event and they're raising money. And it's like they can only deduct the cost of what it was to go there. And then even in that scenario, because it's sort of more like a donation thing, is that income really isn't there. You don't want to count that income as your income if you're donating it too. So you want to be mindful. What some of my clients will do is they'll actually have people, they'll be set up at like the SPCA and they'll have people make the donation directly to the SPCA, get the service from them, and then their cost is the deduction, but they have gotten so much marketing out of that. Now people yes. know who they are. So it's, again, always, I always kind of like to think about, you know, how you would, if the IRS was sitting here and they want to know what you were doing, how would you mm-hmm. describe this? How would you explain what you were trying to do here? But yeah, you can deduct the value of anything. It has to be the cost. So it would mm-hmm. be whatever the print cost was for that.
Yeah, which I'm really glad that you clarified that. And that is something that a lot of us do, is we set up some sort of fundraiser with a nonprofit mm-hmm. or calendar fundraiser. And one of the best pieces of advice that I got from my old CPA is when you set up your calendar fundraiser, make sure that all of the donations are going directly to the nonprofit. Mm-hmm. Don't handle any of the money, because if you receive it, guess what? You're paying taxes on it. Mm-hmm. You have to report all
of
that.
And you can't donate it. Like, it's, there's no such thing as a business donation. I have a blog post called this. You can only do personal donations. You can mm-hmm. structure it through your business if you have to. Like, we have to sort that out, but there is no such thing as a business donation. So mm-hmm. Having them is perfect. Otherwise, you can do it on your personal return, but we just got to work through the transactions to bring it off your books and put it in your pocket so that you can donate it. And who wants all that?
So I'm so glad that you clarified it, because I feel like I'm always the Debbie Downer. And then I second guess myself too, because people are like,
do I tell them there's no such thing as business surrender?
Well, because we always have that question pop up like, oh, I'm going to donate these images, so I'm just going to deduct it. Like, you could do an in-kind trade, and so therefore you can deduct the, you know, your licensing. It's like, no, you can't. You could deduct how much gas it took for you to get to the shoot to go take mm-hmm. images that you then donated, mm-hmm. but you don't get to donate mm-hmm. and then like deduct what you would normally charge.
You could deduct the cost of the prints, and you could deduct that maybe you went to the event and you had to get a table and a sign and all. And that's advertising, in my opinion. So something I always do, like in some of my trainings, is when we're walking through the tax forms, one of my modules is the tax module. We go through every single tax form. And one of them is, I show them, do you see that there is not a line on either of these forms for donations? There is not one line on a Schedule C or an 1120S tax form for business that says donation. So that is our huge, unfortunate clue that they are not. And it's not, but it's huge, especially like in the pet photography area. We have a lot of clients in that area, and it's a huge thing. And you know, similar to you guys, like, they're trying to do things for animals, and that's a huge way that industry, they can help, you know, what they're passionate about, but it's trying to help them structure that properly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so you've mentioned quite a bit the education that you do. Yes. And I know that recently you've even launched a membership. So for people who are listening to this and they're thinking, okay, I really want to get my ducks in a row. I take conservation photography seriously, not only for the impact that I can make through the images that I'm making for conservation causes, but also I really want to take this very seriously for myself as a photographer. It's something that I want to have at least break even, or I might be able to make a career out of this. What does that look like? I want to get educated. So tell us more about the training that you do for photographers.
So we just launched the membership. It's called The Legit Photographer. And the first whole phase is going through, like, what is business structure? What does that mean if I'm an S corporate, or if I'm a DBA or sole proprietor? Like, if it's just me, you know, what do I have to do? And it's talking about, do you need to get registered? You know, some local governments require you to have a business license, or certain licenses, especially in this industry, because there's a lot of parks and places and things that you have to register, or you have to get a mm-hmm. license to shoot there. Mm-hmm. So, like, we kind of go through all that. We talk about insurance. We talk about, like, all the kind of things that people forget about and don't realize that when they become a business, then they have to worry about that. We have an entire walkthrough sales tax, how it works, what you have to do. What if you've been collecting sales tax, but you never registered and paid it? Or one of these scenarios where you're just figuring this out now, there are things, states do these VDA agreements. We do them all the time with clients to help you get caught up, and they don't charge any penalties and fees, and they'll help you get honest with them. But we go through, like, all that kind of building the foundations, I call that piece. Mm-hmm. And then we go into doing the things, like, how do you form the LLC? How do you do the S corporate? How do you get a tax ID? I walk you step by step through all that. The next one is really going through QuickBooks, how to set it up. I give you the chart of accounts to import. I walk you through getting my discount on QuickBooks, and, like, how do you set it up? What goes in your company information? What goes in the chart of accounts? I walk through how to do everything, how to link it to your bank account. How do you categorize? And then we go into and how to integrate it. And then we kind of go into, like, maintenance mode, my favorite, like the routine maintenance, like making a list, like, what are you doing weekly for your bookkeeping and your taxes? What are you doing monthly? What are you doing quarterly? Like, getting yourself on a routine so you can maintain it. And then we go into, like, phase five is more like growth. Like, what if you want, you know, I don't know if this is in your industry, but a lot of photographers will want to buy a studio, or they want to rent a studio. So, like, well, should you rent or buy? What does the accounting look like? What does that mean for you tax-wise? Like, bigger topics of growth and then tax planning as well. And you get my access to my tax planning software I use through me, and we plug it into your QuickBooks, like, because I love automation. And you can, like, go through, and you're going to have all your information come in, and I'm going to show you how to do all that. And then you can actually do that thing we were talking about, where you can say, well, what if I put $500 in the SEP IRA? what do I save? And it gives you the information. So like, I'm all about these like apps and systems, but this is what we do for our clients one-on-one. And all I'm doing is taking that and teaching you how to do it, because we do it in our sleep. I can show you how to do it, and then you can take care of it till you don't want to anymore. But it's got to get taken care of somehow. So you might as well make it nice and, you know, organized and, you know, sort of streamlined, so you don't have to maintain it so much. But the foundations piece is my favorite. Like, we have a module where I go through literally the 1040 tax form and a Schedule Z, and not in this way that's like, it sounds probably like not fun for anyone, but you actually walk away going, oh, I know what that line means. Oh, I get how that happens now. So later when we're talking, you know what lines pertain to you. You know where I think it builds a foundation. So I kind of make it so you have to go through this foundational piece, because everything else then makes sense. But I just, obviously, you can see, I get super excited about it. I love it. But it's just broken down into pieces, and they sort of build off each other. Then after that, I feel like you're empowered and you have some skin in the game. You don't have to be afraid of it or just nervous by it or anxious.
Right. So essentially, if a photographer joins the Legit Photographer membership, the first thing that they're going to learn is, what are all these different business structures? Which one is right for me?
Yep.
And how do I set that up? And then you're going to dive into, okay, well, what kind of
taxes I need to know? And like, because again, like I was saying earlier, taxes sometimes the big bucket, and people don't realize that there's federal income tax, there's state income tax, there's sales tax, there's self-employment tax. And I break it all down. I explain it, what it is. And they're bite-sized too. They're not like these big long hour. I'm like, they're like 10, 15 minutes is the longest lesson in there. Most of them about 5 minutes, but it goes through the things you need to understand. And I think it just gives you a list of things to consider that you might have not thought about, especially that licensing piece, like getting those licenses to shoot places. People don't realize that, you know?
Yeah. So if you are just getting started in this, there's a whole foundational element that's pretty amazing. If you've been doing this for a while, even if you feel really solid in that area, it sounds like then the next phases could be really amazing for letting you know how to get yourself really organized, how to make sure you know what you don't know.
And I do weekly calls. So I'm like there to help. Like, because I also realize this is not like a theory class. I have to be engaged. You know, we do calls where we're screen sharing and I'm helping somebody figure out their PayPal situation at QuickBooks, like how these two link together. Like I'm hands-on, because this is just one of those areas that you need that. You have to be able to show people. I'm teaching you a software and I'm teaching you some concepts, some accounting, really. And then, you know, being able to help you see that. But that's the best feeling, is like when somebody's all organized and they're like, oh my God, that's I actually feel legit. And that's why we named it that.
Excellent. So in terms of time investment, overwhelm, and pricing, if someone's thinking, oh, I love the idea of being able to go and get all trained up and understand exactly what's going on with the business side of my conservation photography, but I don't have a lot of time and I'm scared to invest money, tell us about that aspect of the membership.
Well, and I created this for that reason, right? We'll get clients all the time and we'll do calls with them and they're not at a place where they want to hire us to do everything. And I'm like, well, how can I help you in a way that's like having an accountant in your pocket, right? We have a community also connected to this. So like, maybe you have questions, like you can handle it yourself. And then you're like, oh, well, what does it mean if this happens? Or if I do that tax-wise, like I can help you in, I will say like a group setting, but still having that, like you were saying earlier, like that accountant resource still somewhere in your life. I think it's like having an account in your pocket, having that confidence in knowing I have someone I can ask who can explain this to me. Like, I think that's amazing.
What is the investment for the membership?
So it's $197 a month right now. I think it will be going up in 2023 just because of the content. You have so much in there, but it's also new content. We have a monthly masterclass. So we had a pricing masterclass, and these are all other photographers successful in their industry or their area teaching on topics in there. So it's really great to get sort of a well-rounded thing, right? So it's like, I have the business, I'm getting it organized. And now I'm thinking about these other things, like, am I priced right? Or am I going into this niche or things like that? So I want it to be this community where people feel supported and that they have a professional on their side, that's myself, but then that you have a community of other people who are really trying to do the right thing and be compliant and grow their business in a way that feels good, but is also like, they're not just handing it off to somebody else. Like, they're involved and engaged. I think there's just an element of business, like even myself, where I always want to be engaged in a part of my business, you know?
I absolutely 1,000% agree. Normally in this podcast, we're talking about all of these things that have to do with actually the work that we do behind the camera and with the camera and getting images out into the world. But a really important part of what we do and a really important part of taking ourselves seriously as valuable contributors to the world through our photography is having all of these systems and structures in place so that we feel legit, we feel confident, we feel secure, and we know that the income that we are making, we get to keep as much of that as possible because many of us are rolling that right back out and reinvesting it into doing really important things with our photography to help conservation causes. So I know that this episode is a little bit more on the business side and the numbers side, but all of this stuff is really, really important to talk about. And I'm so grateful that you're there as a resource specifically for photographers, because doing your work as a freelance photographer is very unique. And so to have a resource out there with an expert who gets what this industry looks like is amazing. So thank you so much for choosing us photographers as your niche.
Yes. No, I love it. And I just feel like it allows me to serve better too. Like when I'm focused on one thing, I can do it really well, right? Because like that sales tax guide, for example, like the second that I was like, we're going, because we did creative entrepreneurs for a while, and but I only took photographers. I just didn't want to say it because I know anyone niching down knows that feeling. And then we finally did. I'm like, well, we've said it. We might as well make the sales tax guide I've dreamed of. And we went all in, but it does. And it helps us help you guys. And we, and I love that we have a lot of experience with all the different CRMs possibly being used. I could talk all day long about the pros and cons of each one. They all have their, you know, and I love that. And I feel like that just brings so much value to photographers in ways that I think is unexpected. So
mm-hmm. Wonderful. So for anyone listening who's like, I need to go explore more, where do people go to find you?
So bastionaccounting.com has everything. And there's actually a chat box on there, and that is me. So like if you jump on bastionaccounting.com and you have a question about anything, that is me. I have a little chat box here. It's me talking with you. So I'm there for questions, anything.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, all of the links that we've mentioned will be in the show notes. So if you're listening, just scroll down and you'll find a link to the show notes where you can get all of these resources. Tiffany, thank you so much for your energy.
This was so fun. I'm like, see, now I'm all inspired again. It just fires me up.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, everyone, thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Ta-da!
Thank you so much for listening to the very end of this episode, and I want to give you a reward for the attention and the dedication that you just showed. I have made something extra special for you. It is a 45-second quiz that reveals your unique personality as a visual storyteller. See, as photographers and filmmakers, we all have our own unique creative strengths as well as some weaknesses to be aware of. And this quiz will not only reveal your creative super strengths, but also provide you with a customized action plan to put those strengths into action. You can head to jamieh.com/quiz to find out your unique storyteller personality. That's jamieh.com/quiz. I hope that you have so much fun learning about the unique personality that you bring to your storytelling.